Hello and welcome to Finance Rules, the Eigenberger & Weiner Financial News Radio Show, a monthly podcast that offers insights into some of the top trends happening in the financial markets. In this new podcast show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the partners at EBW offer insights into some of the trends happening. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, founder of Incandescent Radio, and I am here today with Michael Egan, a certified financial planner and founding partner at EBW, talking about a topic near and dear to the hearts of many parents and 20-somethings, and that topic is millennials and money. Welcome to your show, Mike.
Hi, Hope. How are you?
In this month in your newsletter, you talked about people in their 20s and 30s having a lot of distractions, which clearly they do. They want to buy a new car, maybe a house. They're thinking about saving for a wedding or maybe a new baby. Way off in the distance, they're thinking about retirement. And that's a problem, right? You say that retirement savings should be their number one goal. So let's get down to it. As a person in their 20s and 30s, what do you see as common financial planning mistakes?
So I'm going to start by saying this is near and dear to my heart as well. I've got two daughters, 23 and 24, and you know, imparting financial wisdom should come easy to me since I'm a financial planner, but since I'm dad, it's not always taken that way. They need to hear it from an independent third party. So for all of you mom and dads out there now, maybe you can use me as the independent third party to impart some wisdom since it doesn't always work that way in my house. But we're going to work this out here. Ultimately, there's a lot of distractions. I mean, I remember when I was back in my 20s, you know, you just wanted to have fun. You wanted to kind of get on with your life. You wanted to become independent. But independent means making the right decisions and planning well for the future. I'd say that one of the first things you want to consider is let's not move out before you need to. I know mom and dad may not want to hear that, but I'd like it to be in a position to when you do move out, you don't come back. And that really means, you know, building up a nest egg, an emergency fund, maybe when you do move out, living below your means with roommates, just certain things that most of us I'm going to put as much of my paycheck as possible, get the coolest place as possible, have no roommates, so I've got a really independent lifestyle. Probably not the best way to go to have long-term financial success. Maybe a new car is on the horizon. Maybe you've been driving mom and dad's car for years, and you're like, you know, I've been really dying to get my own car, and, you know, I've got a paycheck now. That'd be great. But the more debt we take on, the less we have for other goals, whether it's saving or disposable or even fun. You don't want to be strapped to, you know, a big rent payment and a car payment and then just be able to hang out in your apartment and look at the car in the driveway because you have no money to do anything else. And I see a lot of people doing that. Or worst case scenario, you're coming back to mom and dad to pay bills for things that you just couldn't afford because you got surprised. The other big thing is credit card debt. It's so easy to get credit, especially when you're coming out of school, and it's just managing it that's the big problem. So number one thing, you know, we want to make sure every month we pay the credit card balance off. If we can't do that, then that means we're spending too much. Just because we have a credit limit of X doesn't mean we need to spend up to X, and that's not really a good idea. So again, our ultimate goal is to be financially independent from mom and dad. It's also mom and dad's goal to get you off payroll. So I think if partner together, mom and dad and the kids, you can have a really successful start. And then in the long run, you're going to be much better off probably than even your parents were because you started early.
Well, that is such good advice, and advice that I take, actually, paying off those credit card debts, not buying a new car if you don't have to. These are kind of things that go against the grain for Americana. You know, we always want the new and the best, and we'll pay whatever we have and run up our credit cards. But obviously, that's a bad idea, and it's important to start early.
Absolutely.
So also, what about kids that are under 20? So how can you start your young, like, teenagers on this process?
I think if you tell them that, hey, you know, let's not spend 100% of what we make. You got that part-time job, whatever it is. Let's set aside a certain amount of money each month toward your future, whether it's your future when you're in college and maybe you can't work as much and you need a bankroll for that, or maybe you're actually way ahead of the game and you're actually planning for retirement or your first home or something like that. I'd set aside some portion of the budget, you know, 10 to 20% for the future, for something else, something you didn't plan for. And I think that's a great way to get started because that didn't happen to me when I was growing up. You know, I went out, I made money early. I made good money early. But my parents were like, hey, it's your money. go ahead and spend it. And I did just that. And I spent that and maybe a little more. I had a lot of fun, but I didn't have anything to show for it. And ultimately, if I could rewind the clock, I bet you I could have 99% of the fun and have a lot more to show for it if I had done it right the first time.
Yeah, and having that wisdom and starting early is clearly very important. So what should savings priorities be for young people?
So again, number one, no credit card debt. That's got to be the biggest thing there. I mean, the rates 10, 12, 15, 20%, you can't get out from under that. That's a spiraling mistake. So unless it's absolutely there is no other choice, you only use a credit card when you know you can pay it off. It's always good to have one and build credit, but it's not good to overuse one. And then that's kind of the balance that both the kids and the parents are trying to make. Number two, and this is a big one, get a cash reserve pool. So I've got my daughter. She's at home now. She's working full time. She's a nurse. She's making good money. And the goal was, okay, I want you to put 10 grand in the bank before you move out. Now she's got that. Took her 5 months. She's got 10 grand in the bank. She's ready to go. And now I'm starting to give her all the bills that I've still been paying for, moving over to her own name so then she can figure out what her budget would be. Now her goal, she'd love to live independently. And I'm like, you understand how expensive that is. Why can't you have a roommate? And the answer, of course, is because I did that in college and I'm doing that with you guys and I don't want to do it again. But, you know, if she's got that cash reserve pool, even if she's in a higher rent situation, she should at least be comfortable if something happens with her job or her health and she needs to be out of work for a while, that she can pay her own way without having to come back home to me and her mom, you know, for a bailout.
Excellent. Financial education for kids. It's so important. So what do you think is a good savings rate for retirement if you're young?
So that's a great question. And I know I'm going to shock some people when I say this, but at a very minimum, 10%. And you should be targeting really 15 to 20. It's hard to say that number. I know when I told my daughter that, she lost it. She's like, what? And then she went to work. She told her nurse friends what I'd said. And she said, your dad's crazy. But the reality is this, you know, for a younger person today, what are they going to really have for retirement other than what they've saved themselves? You know, pension plans, they're going away. If you're in one now, the odds of it being there by the time you're 60 is probably pretty low because the employers don't want that financial liability long term. So you might have the 401k match, which is great. It supplements what you're doing yourself. But we're not going to have a pension like maybe our parents did or our grandparents did. We're probably not going to have anywhere near the Social Security that our parents or grandparents had because there's definitely going to be Social Security reform coming down the pike here. I'm not saying it's going to be zero, but I would say planning without it is probably a more prudent role than a plan with it. And then if you get it, whatever you get is a bonus. So I think, you know, definitely targeting at least 10% at the beginning. And some of these, there's programs out there right now through the 401k plans will do automatic increases. So without you even having to do anything, each year it goes up 1%.
Wow.
Until you get up to 15%. So it's kind of an easy way to progress your savings to a level where you really should have been at from the beginning. That's pretty much the retirement goal. And then anything else you want to do should be beyond that. But if you're not on track for retirement, don't start planning for the big house, the new car, the big vacation. Have retirement first and then live your budget beyond that. And I think the big thing is just live below your means. And that's not what TV tells us, but it is really the best financial planning advice I can give anyone.
Yeah.
My most successful clients didn't make a fortune while they were working. They saved well.
Mm.
And they saved for a long time.
Oh, so clever, so logical, and counter to what we are shown, but it just makes perfect sense. So the last question is, what other advice do you have for young people getting their financial house in order?
So another big thing, one of the biggest risks that a young person will encounter is disability. So make sure at work you check off the box for short-term and long-term disability. The statistics are something like you're 8 times more likely to be disabled for a period of 6 months or more during your working career than you are to actually die during your working career. So a lot of times we think of life insurance first and disability is like a way distant second. Disability actually is a much bigger issue for a younger person because if you can't work anymore, now you're on somebody else's payroll for the rest of your life.
Wow.
And that's something that nobody really wants to be in that situation. I remember in my 20s, because, you know, I was being educated in this business, that was my biggest fear. I was like, oh my God, if I get disabled, I'm just going to watch my family go poor. Because, you know, I can't help them. If I'm dead, the life insurance will pay for it. But if I'm disabled and I don't have coverage, we're going to be hurting. So definitely get the disability at work. If they offer supplemental disability that you pay for on your own beyond that, pick that up too. It's never too much disability, especially through work. I would definitely encourage you to get that. The other big thing is take advantage of the health savings accounts through your employer. So a lot of us may put in the minimum. I would recommend probably a rate of somewhere between $2,000 to $4,000 a year going into the HSAs, so that down the road, if you need money for other medical expenses, it's there, it's available. We know the healthcare system is going to be evolving tremendously over the next 20 years, and having this asset pool available to pay for those expenses that may not be covered by the insurance would be a huge benefit to you in the long run.
Again, just so logical and smart and not so overly cautious, just wise, it seems like.
Yeah, it's just take this step first, then let's work off the rest of the budget.
So of all these things, what is the most important thing for 20-somethings to be thinking about?
I'd have to say I can't pick one, okay. But I'd say the cash reserve pool and no credit cards.
Yeah, no credit cards.
I want to say the 401k, but if credit cards are there and we got to, you know, so those two things are big.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the 401k savings rate would be a very close second. Okay. With those two tied for first.
Okay, so yeah. Cash reserve, no credit card debt, think about your 401k.
Right. Use a credit card, pay it off every month to establish credit because that's going to be important, but don't carry balances.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah. Well, we are talking to Michael Egan about millennials and money. He also mentioned Social Security, and he's done a bunch of fantastic articles and podcasts on that topic, as well as his appearances on Let's Talk Live on News Channel 8. So be sure to check that out, too, because Mike has tremendous insights into the future of Social Security. So thank you for being here on your show, Mike.
Thanks, Hope. Great being here.
You're listening to the Financial News Radio Show, Eganberger and Weiner's monthly podcast. To contact Michael Egan directly, email him at megan, that's M-E-G-A-N, at ebwllc.com. And for more information about Eganberger and Weiner, log on to www.ebwfinancialnews.com. We'll look forward to talking to you next month. Have a great day.